And this is WHTC in Holland. It's time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. And this morning, our guest is going to be Deb Feenstra, the Holland High Principal. Good morning, Deb.
Good morning, Duke.
The Superintendent, Brian Davis, could not be with us, so standing in his place is Deb Feenstra, the new principal at Holland High School. And, of course, if you would like to talk to her this morning, you may do so by just calling us here at 395-1450. That's the number. Well, Deb, many people in our community already know you because you're a Holland High graduate yourself, and you went on to teach and later serve as principal at several other Holland Public Schools. Now, is this your first year going on at Holland High?
This is my first year at Holland High. Yes, it is. Yes.
All right. Now that you've been working with the system, all through the system, I'd almost say, what has the impact been on the new construction and renovation that the students and teachers are enjoying?
Oh, it's amazing. The new construction has allowed us to do so many things differently that we couldn't do before. Before, we had classrooms that were small spaces, individual groups. Students were contained in small rooms individually. The new construction with the 21st century learning model gives us a chance to have students work together collaboratively in open spaces, move around the building without it being so overcrowded, as well as facilities. We had buckets all over in the hallways in several of the buildings I've been in over the years because our roofs were old and they were leaking, and that is not an issue anymore. Even with all the rain we've just had, we were checking. We thought, please don't leak. And everything looks great, and it's just a learning environment that's something that we can all be proud of being in.
I would think it would be good for the morale of the teachers and the students alike.
It is. It's a good morale for all of us because it's an environment that says we care about you, the community cares about you,
yeah.
We're all in this together, and it's something to be very proud of. And that pride then spreads out into other things, not just the building, but how do I operate? How do
mm-hmm.
I behave? How do I work in this space?
Mm-hmm. But so you great. Still use a teacher in a room.
Still use a teacher in a room. Can't get by without that. There's a lot of technology that's been part of the
yeah.
new facilities in the bond, and the technology is a tool to enhance learning. But the technology is not a tool to replace teaching. That individual relationship with the teacher is something that's so important and integral in what we do every day. That technology just allows us to access the world and information in a different way than we could before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And as principal, it's a whole new ball game for you here.
At that building, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been principal of the Early Childhood Center when we opened that in the Apple Avenue building. I was principal there. I've been the principal at Maplewood. I've been the principal at Van Ralty. And I have been the principal at Longfellow. And then I've been the principal of VR Tech. I've been the principal of New Tech. And now at Holland High. So I've been in several buildings over the years. And the difference about this building is just size. 1,500 students compared to buildings that used to have, 300,
right.
400. It's much larger. And it's just a nice culminating effect for me to have done from early childhood, and I did adult education for the district for a while, and now to land at the high school, it's just a place for me to bring all that learning together into one place and help try to make a difference.
Technology has moved ahead so fast, and trying to keep up with it is difficult.
It's difficult.
But I think the Holland High School is doing a pretty good job of it.
I believe we are. We're attempting to really look at the students that we have now. I look at it and say, and I'll have a conversation with my parents, and we'll say, we didn't need that when we went to school. And no, we didn't, because the world was very different. But the students we have now are digital learners. They have had technology as part of their life since they were born.
Yeah.
And they know how to operate it. They know how to use it. And they really know how to take that and enhance what they're doing. It isn't, a lot of people say, wasn't that just a toy? Isn't that just something to play on? And it really isn't. Great example. New Tech last year, we were working on a project that our students were of carbon emissions, and they were using Prospect Park. And they actually used their technology to Skype in with somebody in Laos that has researched this, has worked on it, and he could share with them his information as a professor, what he's used. We'd never have the ability to do that have that added piece to what our learning is if we didn't have that technology. So if you can really use it to expand that, We had a video chat with a high school in our sister city, Querétaro, Mexico, last year also, and videoed back in to learn about each other. And we could sit in live, real time, and talk to another high school class in another country. That's learning that you just can't make happen without technology.
Yeah. I heard the other day that they're thinking about eliminating cursive writing from the school courses.
That's been a debate for years. Yeah. What is manuscript better? Is cursive better? Now that we type, should that be a course that you have versus keyboarding?
Yeah.
We all know we need to know how to write. We need to know how to write. But do we need a course that says this is exactly how you need to make each one of these letters? When we went through school, your handwriting was so important because that's how you wrote your papers. It needed to be very legible. We still want students to have legible handwriting. But do we need a course to teach that? Or do we know that most of their writing is going to be done with a keyboard? Is that what they need to be better at? So that's where that conversation and debate comes from.
Well, someday they may be in the desert without a keyboard.
They do need to know. That's right. We don't want them not to know, but how, you know, that whole thing, do you need a course to be legible? We still work on penmanship in the elementary years, but it used to be a set class. Don't know that we need to do that anymore.
Yeah. We're here with the principal of Holland High School, Deb Feenstra, and if you'd like to talk to her, you may do so. We're going to take a moment out for a word, and we'll be right back.
Stay away and call 800-477-5050 or visit consumersenergy.com. And remember, stay away, stay alive. Consumers Energy, count on us.
We're here with the principal of Holland High School, Deb Feenstra, this morning. If you have a question for her, call us, 395-1450. We'd be happy to take your call and ask any questions you have about Holland High School. I was just wondering, I think when I took those courses about writing, I think I took orthography and the Palmer method of writing.
Remember the Palmer method, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and the most recent would be Dinelian. It would be the form of cursive writing that that we've worked with in our elementary schools, would be the Dinelian writing. So it's just a little bit different manuscript, and then that would connect to that cursive.
Right.
And still, like I said, it's still important, still something we work on, but just doesn't have the same level of being the only way that we communicate in written form. And that's what we have to look at. There are different ways to communicate now, and we have to be able to do all of them and not just really concentrate on one, which was that cursive writing that we did for so long.
English essays are typed out?
English essays are typed out. Some will do one-page quick writes that we do with students, and they're one page long, and they have to be just so many words, and then the teacher will do all the editing right on the paper with them. But the majority of any essay that's sent in, because now with technology, teachers can actually go into that essay that's typed and make comments right on that typed page.
Mm-hmm.
So just like they used to hand comment, it's right on there typed in.
Amazing. I think we have a caller here. Good morning. You're online with the principal. Yes.
Which was typed by the teacher, so the, you know, the assignment she gave was in a script font, and my child could not read it, so we had to go back and ask that it be changed, the style of font be changed, so he could understand the assignment. Just want to point out that that's still important. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other calls? 395-1450. What's your response to that, Deb?
It is important because it is a form of writing that's out there. So we do need to still help students understand all those different forms. And I just think the beginning when we started the conversation was, do you really, the question out there right now is, do you really need a formal way of teaching that writing in that exact form? Or is it an awareness and an understanding and a use of it versus perfection in writing it a certain way? But yes, absolutely. Whatever written script is there, our students need to be exposed to that so that they can understand what they encounter in reading.
Yeah. Are we going to have a public showing of the school one of these nights or days?
We are. We're looking forward to January 17 being a time that we'll be able to open the building and have full occupancy and be able to share it with the community, because it's only because of the community that we have the facilities that we have today. So it'll be a time, and there'll be more information coming out about that. So please watch for that, and we'll be publicizing. But it will be January 17 that we are hoping to open the building and share it with everyone.
So circle that date on your calendar.
Circle it on your calendar, and just more detail about time and how it will all unfold.
You get a chance to go through the new school.
Get a chance to come through and see the new facility. And it is amazing. And for me, having been a student there and walked through the halls, I used to be able to say, you know, I love being here. I used to walk these halls. The only hall left that I had the opportunity to walk in, really, when you get in, is the dome. And the dome is still the dome. When you come in, the entrance to it is different to get there.
Yeah.
And then there's just a few other hallways that are there that connect things. But if you haven't been in the building at all since the renovation has happened, it'll be very different and new. So please, we hope everyone can come out and, and see it.
Mm-hmm. Good. I was in the building a number of years ago now when I was there talking on Career Day or something
Sure.
like that.
Yep, be very different. If you haven't been there in the last 6 months, it's a real different place.
That's good.
A real
That's
different
great.
Place.
Looking forward to that. Though I may be beyond the age of school, I still like to look at schools.
Sure, would love to have you be there.
All right, but as a whole, it's working good.
It's working really extremely well. We're still at the point, because of construction, we don't have access to everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we have different traffic patterns in the hallways that we had to develop one-way traffic to get everyone through and around between classes and do some planning. But that's just until construction is finished, and then the rest of the hallways will all be open, and that traffic flow will be easier.
Got another question here. Good morning. You're online with the principal.
Good morning, and to you, Deb, this is your predecessor, Longfellow. I hear some awfully good things coming out of that high school.
Well.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I just want to congratulate you on getting your feet wet and getting a good start there. I hear some good things coming from out of there.
Oh, thank you. It's a great staff, great students,
yeah.
And I'm really excited to be there, Chuck. It's really a great opportunity.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Yeah, wish you the best.
Thanks so much for that.
When I went to work this morning, I told my wife I was a little concerned because I had to see the principal this morning.
Right, yep, needed to do that.
Do students still have that concern?
They absolutely still do. There's still something about being in the principal's office that we try to make it so that the only reason you come isn't when there's something negative to deal with, that there's positive reasons to get to know our students and to have a more open door and be part of their life every day. But truth is, a lot of the time when you end up there, it's for negative reasons.
You may be in trouble.
You may be in trouble. Right, right. So that stigma's still there. They'll still say, I don't want to be in your office. But it's a good reason. Yeah, I don't know, but I'm still in the principal's office, so that's still there.
And you had that at one time, too.
If I ever got sent to the principal's office, that would have been the worst. Yeah. Would have been the worst.
Oh, all right. If you have a question for the principal this morning, call us 395-1450. Our line is open. And things have changed so much since I was in school. It's just... It blows my mind, really.
It's a different world. It really is. And I graduated in 76, so that doesn't feel like that was that long ago.
Right.
I hate to add how many years ago that was and really think about it, but it's really changed. But when we think of how much our world has changed and how much life has changed and is different, there's still things that are just need to be the same.
Yeah.
And that's caring about each other, being respectful, treating each other in a respectful way, and that learning is important. And without learning, what are you going to do after school, and what will that look like? When we went to school, there were students that made that decision to drop out or made the decision to not graduate, and they could find a job. That world has changed so much. There are people with all the layoffs and the cutbacks that have happened. You have people with college degrees looking for jobs that you used to be able to get with a high school diploma or even without a diploma. That world doesn't exist anymore, and the world of work that we're sending our students into is so different than jobs we were looking for. When we talk about technology, technology is really what's running our factories and our businesses, and our students need to be prepared to enter that world in a different way than we were. So we need facilities, and we need learning teaching styles, and we need environments that help prepare our students for how different that work world is, because it's not the same as it used to be for us.
How do you mesh with CareerLine Tech?
We have several students that participate in CareerLine Tech. Each school is given a certain amount of seats because it's a county-based
right.
program, and we have about 100 students that attend in the morning session, and we have about 50 that attend in the afternoon
mm-hmm.
session. And that is something that students identify that that's a path they would like to go, and we work directly with CareerLine Tech to fit that in their schedule, look at what other courses around that schedule that their school has
right.
that they would need, and put together a package that works for that student. Because for some of our learners, that is the best environment and the best way for them to learn.
Right.
So we have a close relationship with the tech center.
Good, good. I'm glad to hear that, because I was on the school board in Saugatuck when we started the whole idea of CareerLine Tech.
Oh, okay.
And it was kind of thrilling to me because I had never gone to college except when the Army sent me. But I thought it was a great opportunity for a lot of students.
Great learning opportunity.
Right. Okay. 395-1450 is the number if you'd like to talk to the superintendent. We're going to take a moment out for a word and be...
Help you pay for college. Learn more about what it means to be a citizen soldier at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Michigan National Guard. Aired by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Let's take a look at our weather here. Holland's hometown forecast brought to you by the Wooden Chew Restaurant. Now featuring caramel apple French toast sticks. And the weather outlook is for sunshine today with a high of 42 degrees, mostly clear tonight with a low of 31. And tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds with a high of 47. Right now, we're still looking at 34 degrees in the Tulip City, a little on the chilly side this morning. And we're here with the high school principal, Deb Feenstra. And if you have a question for her, you may call us at 395-1450. Maybe nobody's child is in trouble with the principal.
I hope so. There's a lot of other wonderful things we could talk about. So
yes,
if anyone
yes.
has any questions, don't hesitate to ask.
How far can you go along each year, considering the money on this technical aspect of education?
When we look at funding and how our funding comes in, there's a technical component that was part of our bond issue,
mm-hmm.
and that helps fund the original purchase and setup of equipment. And then out of our foundation grant that we get from the state is providing ways to support the staff to help support the students using that technology.
Mm-hmm.
So it's two different pots of money that those two areas come
yeah.
from.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, school financing is something that is an issue we worry about every year, and we watch and see what the state is going to do that with that every year and make plans from there. So the decisions are made with the finance office and human resources and the Board of Education on how those funds are used, and we just know that technology and our students' ability to use that is a very important piece of all the little pieces that put our puzzle together
mm-hmm.
to fund
mm-hmm.
that, yes.
You've heard about the Common Core. Got any mm-hmm. thoughts on that?
The Common Core is wonderfully approved finally for us because we're working towards that and had put a lot of energy into that and then heard it might not happen and it might happen. But we have Common Core in our English language arts and in our math. And what that gives us is a set group of skills to work on with all of our students all the way through everyone through the continuum. And that's very, very important. We don't have those in social studies or science. So in social studies and science right now, we are still using some state standards that
mm-hmm.
were developed. So it's the directives we're given to what needs to be taught are coming out of two different groups, one out of the Common Core and then one out of our state standards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's two separate pieces that we have to work with.
Did you have to change some textbooks to... adapt to that?
More than changing textbooks, it's been saying, here are the standards we need to teach. Now, what resources do we have to teach those Common Core standards or state standards. So in that textbook, maybe I had some pieces of the state standards, but I don't now for Common Core. So I can still use that textbook, but now I have to bring in additional resources. And that's one way technology really helps us. Instead of having to purchase full textbooks to do a few standards, we can then go online and use resources directly through the internet to support, because we can get textbooks online.
Yeah.
We can get, so instead of having to purchase full textbooks for just needing, I really just need these four or five chapters, now I can do that more with an online and have my textbook I'm using as my base, but now I can supplement with additional materials. So that is just, you know, a cost savings, and environmentally that's not a lot of books being printed
and cost of books.
Cost of those.
Yeah. A nephew of mine was going to Michigan State, and he showed me a textbook he had to pay $175 for.
It's amazing. I have a niece at Hope this year. It is amazing what college students are paying for textbooks right now. It's, they say it is nothing to pay $500 or $600 per semester for your textbooks at the college level. And that's just for a semester. Yeah, it's extremely expensive.
Okay. If you have a question for our guest, please call us, 395-1450. And how do you explain the perspective of the education to the parents? Tough?
It's difficult, I believe, all of us, because we've all experienced school.
Yeah.
So we all have in our mind what school is. And we could have had an incredible experience in school. And like I said earlier, there's a lot of things about school that are just core that we carry through. But there are a lot of things that are different because we're trying to really develop our students into being successful post-high school. And I like to say that when we work with our students in high school right now, we're not talking about just 4 years of their life. We're talking about the next 70 or 80 years of their life. Because what's their career going to be? How are they going to make a living and spend their time after high school? What's that going to look like? So we're really trying to look out. And since that world has changed, even for us, it's hard for me to be able to say, what is our business world looking for in employees? Who do we need to be if we're going to go out into the workplace? So we need to sit with our area business people and say, what are you looking for? What are those skills and talents that you need? How do we help our students become ready for that world? Because it's very different than the world I experienced. So we need to really look to the community and say, what is it you need? And how do we help prepare our students to really be able to be in that world? And like you said, it's changing so fast. Technology is changing so quickly. How do we teach them to be really good thinkers and learners? Because what they need to do today might be very different 5 years from now, 10 years from now. But if we can help our students become really good learners, thinkers, collaborators, and be able to work with each other and problem solve, they'll be able to do many things in the future versus just a limited few things that we think right now are the skills that they're going to need.
Well, we used to say, if you can read, you can learn anything.
That's right. That's right. So now it's changed. Reading is so important. You still, that is core. You have to be able to read.
Mm-hmm.
But now as you look out beyond that, what are we looking for in an employee? What are we looking for in a full community person that really is going to benefit their community no matter where they are? And how do we help them develop those skills?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think your new system is going to do it, probably.
we really believe in the system that we have, and really looking at how do we make it better every day, and how do we take each of our students from where they are and help them grow to be the best that they can be in whatever direction they choose to go. That's really what our task is.
And the students I've had in here, I detect a lot of pride.
We have an amazing, amazing group of students in Holland. But Holland's an amazing community, and I think it is, you know, going different places and visiting different schools, there's something that's unique to Holland. And Holland has a pride for education, and education is important. And having Hope College here helps set that.
Oh, yes.
Having, now we have Grampus Community College in the community. We have Grand Valley. We have Davenport. We have a lot of post-high school colleges and universities right in our own community. And that sets a tone. And I think when you look at the support that the Holland community gives Holland Public Schools, it gives us pride, and it helps us in our new facilities, like we talked about, help really enhance that pride. And that's important. It's very important for me that our students, our staff, everyone feels pride about being part of Holland Public Schools.
Right. And the parents are proud of it,
too. All part of that. That's that community piece that without
them.
That's
what's important.
Couldn't do it without them.
And you as a principal have to kind of hold it together.
Kind of try to hold it all together. That's a good definition of what the job is. You just try to hold it all together, but it's working with a great team and just helping everyone try to be the best they can be. And that's from myself down to, you know, every person from preschool on.
Yeah.
How do we really help that pride of being Holland Public Schools and what does that mean and being part of this community? And if we can instill that in our students, I think we've done 50% of our job.
Right. Right. Well, it's good to talk to you this morning, and I wish you the best on your job.
Thanks.
As you continue to work with the students and work with the system as well.
Thanks, Duke. It was really nice to be here with you. It was very nice to be here with you this morning.